Good morning, everybody. So my name is Karen Jansen. I'm a Dutch prosecutor. I'm now working in Albania for IPA 2017 project. I'm situated at the office of the Serious Crime. I'm very proud that I have three prosecutors from Albania here. They are coming to join us here, and please make contact with them. Albania is at the edge of joining the European family, hopefully, and they are now having a harsh reforms in the country, and also sometimes painful reforms, but they are trying to develop it, and then hopefully we can call them also a member state in the future. Well, I'm an active prosecutor, so maybe for the judges under you in this audience, it is maybe a little bit provocative what I will tell you, but please respond, react to it, so we have a fruitful discussion. Well, in the Netherlands, we as prosecutors, we realized that we could not combat organized crime, such as human trafficking and smuggling also, and investigate the financial component successfully with our traditional criminal instruments we usually use. We saw yesterday the sheet of the chain of Michael Fernandez, Berthier, who told us that police does investigation, the FIU in financial investigations. They bring the protocol to the prosecutor, and the prosecutor brings the case to court, and also in appeal, and such a case can last for years to be irrevocable. And that's a problem. In reality, the defendant can delay with requests for more investigations, and the victims, they lose the trust in our criminal system. That's the reality of the frustration of a prosecutor. So we got together in the Netherlands with the other institutions, such as the Minister of Finance, the tax institutions, the municipalities of social affairs, labor inspectorates, schools, hospitals, but also with non-governmental institutions, such as Western Union, of hotel unions, and owners of sex websites and digital advertisement sites, to combine every available information and detail to get the picture clear and also broaden and widen the scale of possibility to interfere and to combat this kind of criminality. If you want to combat it fruitfully, we say, we have to be replaced in the suspect. We have to think as a trafficker. What does he need? What are his instruments? And for example, some time ago we had a conference with the ABN AMRO Bank in the Netherlands and some forensic accountants also in Amsterdam about human rights. And we discussed if it is possible to combat human traffic from a financial perspective together with other key partners in the financial world, and to see if we could detect forced labor just by following the financial flows. The bank wanted to learn from this all and stood open for discussion, all because they care about their image and want to avoid to get their hands dirty on money coming from dirty jobs and degrading sources. We also, you ask a question about internet. We make counter-attacks on the internet because we saw in a specific case, I was a prosecutor of this case 1.5 years ago. It was a Dutch girl, 16 years. She fell in the hands of a lover boy, Lucas already told. And when you have a daughter of 16, I don't know, but if she is in love with a lover boy, you can't keep her home with 10 horses. It was a real problem. She was really in love. She was totally obsessed by him. She first took the money out of the handbag of her mother, and then after a couple of weeks he said he needed money, and she went in a hotel with him. He just take with his phone a picture of her, put on the advertisement on the sex website, and 270 men made a phone call in 10 days. We detected 60 customers who went to the hotel, and 30 of them we prosecuted because we saw there was a full bucket of used condoms. We could trace the phones, we could detect the numbers who called the working phone, and when we got in with the police, she was with the customer, busy, 16 years, and he was at the toilet already phoning with the next customer. And we said to the sex website advertisement, this is not good, because if there is an advertisement of a girl of 18, and she is available 24/7. She does every sex act you can imagine, anal also, without condom, then there's something wrong. You should know that. This is human trafficking. And we also placed our own advertisement in the sex advertisement. Look out if you are a customer. You are responsible. If the girl is not 18 but minor, you are in every way responsible and you can be prosecuted. So we wanted to make the awareness also with our own instruments on the internet. Back to the banks and the financial component. The financial patterns can lead you to detect, for example, companies who have a lot of employees and remarkable pay less salary. Then there is a discrepancy, or the salary is immediately after paying withdrawn or put to another bank account and is coming from some dubious companies. Then you have signals of exploitation maybe. And also in the international financial money movement, you can detect a deviant pattern and decide to obtain some further information to get the picture clear. So you can see that cooperation with private partners can give both sides advantages. I will tell you more about this later in the presentation. My second sheet is about border control, and we also see, I'm talking about human traffic, but also about human smuggling, because they have very much parallel aspects. And the cross-border crimes on the fields we see on human traffic have a lot of differences, but also they have the same element. And the same element is, of course, earning money, because every crime is connected with earning money. So in every investigation, we try to look through the eyes of the trafficker, of the smuggler. What do you need as a trafficker, as a smuggler, and where can we make barriers to stop them, or at least make them difficult for them? And then we use a certain model I want to show you. I told you about smuggling and human traffic. You have differences, you have common aspects. The difference, of course, of human traffic, that's not necessarily cross-border. And human smuggling is every time. Human traffic is about violation of human rights and personal integrity. Smuggling is really a crime against the state. But both have financial profits as they are. So, I told you about the barriera model. That is something interesting, because it is the way you try to reconstruct how the trafficker works. What does he need? He needs to get the women inside the country. So, he has to have an entry. He has to transport them. He has to house the ones he is going to exploit. If you have a sexual exploitation case, you see that they have to have a permit. They have to go to the municipality. They have to be have a legal status. They have to have a place to work. And at last, you have to find a way to get the cash and get the money laundered. And mostly that is cash money. So on every stage, the trafficker has to have something. You can make difficulties. For example, we talked with the municipality and said, well, if there is a strange guy coming with six girls who don't speak the language, who gave the passports to the guy, and he wants to make them and give them a legal permit or house them in your municipality, then you have a real strong signal that there is something wrong. You have to know where to go to and where to drop your information. And that's on these points we try to make some barriers. It's also a way how you can look at it as a business. Because in the trafficker and the smuggler are running a business. It's just like a regular business. They have some things they need, they have some activities, they have customers, they have cash flow. And we can see that if you brainstorm about the way they work, then you see a model, a business model of illegal migration, for example. You have on the right side the customer side, and on the left side the production side. The value proposition is always the product of services of business and the offering to the customer of a better life. That's the value in illegal migration. The land of milk and honey is the ideal, and that is what they want. The channels, the facilitators or illegal migration provide their services using local contact points. For every stretch of the journey, migrants get in contact with local contact points. After payment of fees to a local collector of the criminal organization, the contact person informs the migrant what to do. For example, he will show them the safe house, instruct them on how to prepare for a border crossing, where and when to get ready. The customer relationship is important in a business model is how a company interacts with its customers, from sales, delivery, to after sales, and how they stay in contact with the customer. Facilitators of illegal migration interact with their customers using social media, the internet, and personal networks, Facebook. In some cases, migrants receive special offers if they collaborate with the facilitators. And social media is particularly important for the first stretch of the journey. Organized crime groups use social media like Facebook to advertise in the origin countries. They present a picture of the destined country as the place to gain a better life, either for the migrant themselves or for their families. You have also personal networks. Contact persons are often from the same ethnic or a linguistic background as the migrants. And you have a loyalty program. Several criminal groups have offers similar to loyalty schemes in the legal economy. For example, if a migrant brings in 10 other migrants, he will get a discount or part of the journey for free. Then you have the production side. In our analysis of the production side, we looked at the key activities of migration facilitators, the resources they require for those activities, and how they make use of the services of partners. Key activities are the most important activities in executing a company's value proposition. The key activities of the criminal organization in this business can be divided in activities focused on delivering services to migrants, internal management, risk management, and financial management. Internal management, the core of activity of any organization involved in illegal migration, is coordination. They will organize transport, safe houses, false documents, and coordinate these services so that local contact persons can inform migrants about the pickup points. An important task is recruiting staff, drivers, guides, people overseeing safe houses, or people acting as local contact points. Staff is recruited from local networks, as well as from fellow migrants. So you see, I pointed out some specific components of this. I can't tell you all because we have a time squeeze, I understand. We have the production side, now we have the finance. Relatives in home or destination countries generally finance the migration journey. Exactly how is unclear. We don't have a silver bullet explaining the cash, what is involved. But you see that there are also other payment methods. Yesterday we heard already from the Western Union that there are cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies is a sort of virtual currency, like a Bitcoin. A virtual currency or is an alternative currency. They use decentralized control as opposed to central electronic money. And the central bank system, it has no intrinsic value and it is not redeemable, for example, gold, like our money. Its supply is not determined by a central bank, and the network is completely decentralized. And hawala is also a kind of paying system, it's a traditional system of transferring money used in Arab countries and South Asia, where the money is paid to an agent who then instructs an associate in the relevant country to pay the final recipient. Cash is mostly in money flows, and there, I said, is no silver bullet to comprehend it or to get a finger behind the phenomenon. This about the business model. Now about the cooperation. Yes, you can do it. During the seminar, we as a Dutch prosecution held in October 2017 with Romanian colleagues on the subject of money laundering and asset recovery in the context of combating organized crime and working in joint investigation teams, we had an exchange of knowledge and experience, and we made a sort of checklist. If you are going to cooperate, you do it by judicial assistance request. You have parallel investigations, maybe, if such a request receives you. But you also can start a joint investigation team. We just heard from Lucas what's that all about. And if you have an operational meeting together, the prosecutors and the police, you can use this checklist about which data do we have available, which actions do we need, or where can we find the data, which techniques are needed and are available. What channels do we have time and mandate for support? Which is the influence? Which organization will have the oversight if there are several countries involved? What information is needed to prove that could also be a difference between countries? Which public prosecutor will be the accuser? When is this visible? When can this be planned? What support does he or she need? And concerning the victim, you also have to debate on that. Do we have a shared opinion on victim care? Will the victim report or only be a witness? Will there be prosecution without a victim report? In the Netherlands, that is possible. Can prosecution be planned in another country or in both countries? What are the assets for recovery? Are there movable goods for confiscation? What are the conditions for recovery? What special permissions are needed? Is real estate for confiscation? What are the estimated maintaining costs? What are conditions for assets recovery on third persons also? You also have to plan then your public communication about arresting people, confiscating and sentences. It would not be the first time that countries are working together and that in one country there is an arrest and the other country is still investigating, and it hindered the investigation that people from the group are already arrested in the other country. So you have to make good agreements on that. And check if all issues are communicated within the international team. That are just some checkpoints that you can use if you have a meeting. Of course, we have liaison officers also, but also is important non-operational cooperation, because besides talking about a concrete case, it's also good to know each other, to talk with each other, to see in each other's eyes, and to learn how the other is thinking, is working on the which circumstances. You have to build on your trust to work together. It's really a great importance to talk and share your best practices with respect for the other judicial system. I just went to Mechelen in Belgium with an Albanian prosecutor, and we had an operational meeting there with the police in Belgium. And it was about a group who had a lot of burglaries, very much damaging, a lot of damage was taken. And the goods who were stolen in Belgium were found in Albania. And we arranged that in due time the goods will return to Belgium. Can you imagine what that means for a Belgian who lives there, who has stolen the jewelry of his deceased mother, maybe, and now get it back? That's a huge result, I think. And that's because we met each other, we talked with each other, and we made agreements on who does what. So we had a lot of JITs in the Netherlands. Newly signed are the blue ones, and the ongoing are the red ones. Yes, and then this is a list, the next one, yes,
next one.
Another. This is a list of the JITs. I will not tell you about all of them, a lot is still ongoing, and we had some really nice convictions with these JITs, yes. Now I want to give you an example of cooperating with private partners. I already told you about the sex websites we make contact with, and we tried to convince them that they should be more critical about the advertisements, and we achieved also. There are no advertisements about women of 18 years. It's all about 21 or elderly. So there are no advertisements anymore of girls of 18 who are just mature. So that is a real achievement in the contact and the agreement we had with those owners of sex websites. An example is also about hotels, yes, and about our contacts with the banks, yes, the next one. We saw that there was a lot of illegal prostitution in the hotels. There were signals about human trafficking also. If a woman has a room for a day and 20 or 50 men are coming in and out, and then you have to be aware that there is maybe a problem. So we talked about it with the Union of Hotels, with the Trade Association for Hotels. And we had trainings for the personnel, the people sitting at the front of the hotel and seeing everybody going in and out. But it had not much result. And we hired some actresses. We made a movie of ourselves about how that it worked in a hotel. And it was the movie Please Disturb. And there was a lot of public outrage of that there was so much illegal prostitution in hotels. And the hotels were then open for contact and open for trainings, and they really tried to think with us, and they quickly implemented better training, and the results were that the amount of human traffic in hotels decreased. Also with the banks, we had actively detected the money flows, and we tried to make them aware of the signals. Wages paid, as I said, immediate withdrawal, large amount of workers, low amount of wages, and vulnerable sectors like agriculture sectors or Chinese restaurants or that are sometimes vulnerable sections. Yes, and the case example. This is a jet with Bulgaria. I will tell you shortly something about the main aspects of it. It was just started when a truck was at the border. The border police controlled it, and there were some signs of human traffic. Mostly it's a big bag with full of condoms or lingerie. The three women who don't say anything on the back of the truck, and they didn't show their own passports because the guys had the passport. And then you have to be aware that there could be something wrong. Yes, we had victims, statements, victims from the Netherlands, but also victims in Belgium. And there were other victims also traced in the investigation in Bulgaria. Yes. We saw that the suspects had a villa in Bulgaria, big villa built, and also some very expensive BMW motorcycles. And the villa was built by him, and the motors and the cars were on the name of his mother, who didn't have a driver license. Yes. We agreed on several aspects, and because of the difficulties, the modus operandi was that in many cases the women are seduced to come with them. They start just 18 years, they think they will go to have a better life in Europe, and they will work in a bar or maybe in a striptease bar, but eventually they end in prostitution. They were transported in minibuses. Their friends and acquaintances, they acted as facilitators. You see often that the victim is also a facilitator, is becoming a facilitator to get other girls. And then the threats and the violence begin, and then they were forced to work in the prostitution. And mostly the threats are that the family will be involved and informed, and that is very shameful for the victims. Yes. Yeah, this is a part of the network of the suspects and who they were involved. And then we started an intensive cooperation. We started JIT in January 2016 with Bulgaria. And we decided that in the Netherlands it would be a prosecution for human traffic. And in Bulgaria, because of the asset recovery there, the mother would be prosecuted for money laundering, and then it was the most practical way to get the villa and the expensive motors. We had a free flow of operational information. That is the really benefit of a JIT. You don't have to write a rogatory request letter every time. You have a free flow of information. You can sit together, make appointments. And we had financial support from Eurojust. We had a joint action week. In this case, arrest of the suspects in the Netherlands, searching in the villas, apartment of the mother, confiscation, and we had 19 interrogations. And the case duration was 1.5 years. Yeah, because of the differences between the confiscation and extended confiscation in Dutch law and Bulgarian, we decided to prosecute the mother in Bulgaria for money laundering. So we only had to prove that the mother knew the criminal origin of the money with which she bought the villa and the cars. Oh, the villa was also on her name. Yes. Okay, we had some illegally obtained profits, and then you see what a victim can deliver you for money. If you say she has regular customers of 8 customers maybe in a day, she works 5 days, 6 days, 7 days in a week, then she earns this money. This was the money that the victims earned for the suspect, and it's a lot. Okay, that was my story about the case. Now I have some recommendation to finalize this presentation. We see that the FATF, Financial Task Force, have an operational framework for financial investigation. Please look at it. You can find it on the internet. The criminals also. The second recommendation is focus on the network. Who is working with whom? How are they connected with each other? So you can uncover the criminal network. 3 is, of course, follow the money. Follow the money. Where is the money going to? Where do they bring the cash? How are they transported to the home countries? If you follow the money, we heard it yesterday already from Western Union, then you see that there is a network, that who is in contact with whom. Then the 4th is regulate informal banking services. If you regulate it, you can get it more transparent. You can increase the control. And you also have more possibilities to obstruct criminal processes. 5 is link up with investigations into illegal substances. If you have a criminal network for THB, you also see that they say, well, if we have the means and the contacts and the money and the transport, you also can have a couple of kilos of cocaine transported. And you see often a combination about human traffic and other illegal criminal activities. 6 is investigate and disrupt marketing via social media. Also, we can be active on social media. We can also use it to contact maybe the possible victims or the customers. You can be active, show your message, and do a counterattack on the internet. Investigate, analyze, and disrupt the marketing illegal migration services in social media. 7. It's the remarketing strategy I already mentioned. Make sure that the country of destination is not the land of milk and honey. That they are sitting there at Calais in the rain without food, young guys who thought they could go to the UK and have a better life. But they are sitting there. It's a drama. It's really a drama. And we have to make that message clear that it is not an option. That it is not what they think it would be. Use the business model I explained to you as a tool for analysis. I remember that we discussed it with several partners, and that somebody of the border police said to me, well, I think we have a control on the wrong gate at the airport, because we are standing at the departure, at the entrance gate, to see which persons are coming in. And he said we had to stand at the departure gate to see where the money goes. And that's kind of ideas you gain if you discuss this model. And be assured that the smugglers are very well known with regulations and very raffinement they have. Last year we had a situation at Schiphol Airport. There were 6 Vietnamese girls coming with a ticket for South America. They were sitting at the transit room, and they stayed overnight. They throw away their passports and their identity, we think, waited for the garbage to be taken away, and then they said to the border police the next day, well, we are minors.
Yeah, you can't see a Vietnamese woman if she is 18 or 25. So they were put in a juvenile institution because they are protected. And then one day later, they were picked up by other Vietnamese, and so they were in Europe. It was amazing how simple it works and how they knew how it was functioning. And they used our really legal institutions to get the migration resulted.
Yeah.
The last, number nine, is investigate the financing of journey by migrants. Where are they going to and how are they financing it and by which means? Then you get also a good picture of how it works. And the last one is further research into the criminal professional finance services providers. And that is also, we heard yesterday from Western Union that they have 510,000 agents local worldwide. Well, I was amazed that it is so much, but I think it's a very good source of information also. So I will come back to you. Well, thank you for your attention.